Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We continue to go through the Word of God together. It's our food. It's our strength. The Bible says that God's magnified His Word above all His name. That's a pretty great, great magnification of something if it's magnified above the name of God. Galatians chapter 5, as we look together, we have one verse. Just one verse this morning. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says this great verse in the Bible, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." I want to read that again in your hearing. He says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." He says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Liberty. I'm preaching on liberty in Christ this morning. What a wonderful, wonderful word, the word liberty. I looked that up in the old dictionary, the old 1828 dictionary. I recommend you to do that when you find a word that you want to get more information about. And the old 1828 dictionary defines liberty as several things, but as I began reading, it said this. It's very interesting. It says that the body is at liberty when it is not confined. In other words, if you take someone and you lock them up, they're not at liberty. Their body is not at liberty, that is. The dictionary also said about this. It says the will or the mind is at liberty when it is not controlled. In other words, when some other influence is controlling the thoughts or the decisions, then the will is not free. The mind is not free. The dictionary went on to say, a man enjoys liberty when no physical force operates to restrain his actions or his volitions, his choices, the choices that he would make in his conscience. You know, we live in a day that a lot is said about freedom. But I really think there's been more of an erosion of freedom lately than there's ever been in my lifetime. Liberty. And of course, we're not talking about political liberty this morning. We're in the Word of God. So there's something much greater than political freedom or freedom in a nation to live like you want to live. There's a greater freedom and liberty than that. That's what we're preaching about this morning. But I just want you to stop and think how precious it is to have liberty in the land that we live in. And how precious, if that is so precious, it's worth fighting for. You know, I remember as a child in public school, you know, the schools are so different, you know, than they were when I was growing up in school. And they taught us to, you know, of course, respect our government. We pledged to the flag. We had prayer in school and all that business. But, you know, there was a disdain and taught in our public school about the communistic systems that didn't believe in freedom. And I remember this as a young person, the phrase that we even studied in history class and things, and the phrase from the Patriots that said, "I would rather be dead than red." How many of you remember that phrase? In other words, I'd rather be dead than lose all the liberties that I have. Our nation was founded on that principle of liberty. And when you think about the fight that we've always had to remain free and to have the liberty that we have, and then look at the erosion of that in our society, it should bring some great concern. So we have a society that has been set at liberty, but it seems that some people are going back again and entangling themselves and allowing their hands to be handcuffed. Now again, remember what I read from the dictionary definition of liberty. The body is at liberty when it is not confined. We've had some confinements of our liberty lately, have we not? Bodily. As a matter of fact, we pick on California, you know, sometimes about the liberties that they're losing out there, and they're preventing churches from going to church and whatnot and singing. But, you know, that's not just in California. We had 5 Christians arrested in Idaho this past week for singing. Law-abiding citizens that were out in public. You know what they were singing? They were singing Amazing Grace. That's what they were singing. There was no even musical instruments being played. They were minding their own business, standing there singing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. They sang the doxology. They sang, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him who creatures here below. And while they were singing, here comes the officer. They were waiting on them, actually, and they arrested 5 of them. Now, I don't know why they didn't arrest the rest of them. I guess they didn't have enough cars for them. There's about 200 out there singing. You ever thought you'd live to see the day where Christians would be arrested for singing Amazing Grace in public? I would say somebody's trying to confine someone. You know, they don't care if you sing it in your house. They just don't want you to sing it somewhere else. They don't want you singing in the church house in some places. I'm just saying that liberty is when the body is at liberty when it's not confined. You ought to just think about that for a little while. And then the mind and the will is at liberty when it is not controlled. You know, we have a lot of mind-controlling games that are going on right now of the public. And they want to control the way you think. You know, a liberated mind is a mind that's not controlled by the brainwashing. You know, that's what communist countries do, you know. They control the way people think about things. And pretty soon it already is in Canada, it is illegal for you to think some ways. If you think like the Bible tells you to think, if you believe what the Bible wants you to believe, they'll say you're filled with hate and you're filled with crimes against humanity because we have to all think the same, you see. That politically correct agenda is a thief of liberty, is what I'm saying. When somebody tries to control your thoughts and the decisions that you're making in your own will, they are eroding your liberty. We're not all supposed to think alike. I don't want to think just like everybody else. I've got liberty to think the way God wants me to think. I've got liberty to make the decisions God wants me to make, you see. And so liberty's always been a precious thing to Americans, but I think somehow, somewhere down the road, some of that's been lost, and it is worth fighting for, and I still would rather be dead than red, and I cherish freedom, but the greatest freedom in the world is not the freedom that we have politically or in our nation. The greatest freedom in the world is the freedom that only Jesus Christ can give. And it's spiritual freedom. It's freedom down on the inside of you. Our verse says this, look at it, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. I want you to look first of all at the person who gave us this liberty. Christ hath made us free. You see that? George Washington didn't make me free. Washington D.C. and the Supreme Court doesn't make me free. The freedom that I have, that was given to me by Jesus Christ. And if Jesus Christ has never given you freedom and liberty, you don't have freedom or liberty. I'll call your attention if you'll turn there real quick to John chapter 8. We'll read what Jesus said about that. Do you have freedom in Christ, our blessed Redeemer? Are you free on the inside? There are so many people that think that they are in charge of their life, but they're not really. They're in bondage, and Jesus needs to make them free. The Jews thought they were free, but they were not free. They were under control by the society that was around them. Rome was controlling the nation of Israel in the days of Jesus Christ, but they claimed to be free people. And Jesus said this to them in John 8:32. Jesus said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man." That's a lie, by the way. "How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. He's saying, you know, only I can set you free from your sin. Religion can't set you free on the inside. The Romans can't give you freedom. Your leaders can't give you freedom. You can't fight for it and obtain it. The only way for you to have freedom on the inside, I've got to make you free. I've got to take off the chains. Amen. I'm glad for the day that I came to Jesus Christ and I repented of who I was as a sinner and I said, Lord, save me. And He took off the chains and He made me free on the inside. And you can lock my body up, but you can't lock up the freedom that I have in Jesus Christ on the inside. He's made me free. Have you been made free by the Lord? If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. He said, Romans chapter 5, He said, by one man sin into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And by the offense of one, many are dead. He said, but by the obedience of one, you see, the free gift came upon all that will believe through Jesus Christ. And so one man put all of us in bondage to sin, but one man can get us out of that bondage. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. The sin abounded by that first man, but grace abounds by Jesus Christ. You see, He can make you free. Are you free this morning? Are you really free? Are you free on the inside? The Bible says if you're going to get freedom, it's the only person that can give you that is Jesus. Salvation is a free gift that makes you free. He says this in 2 Corinthians 3:17. He said, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That's our word, liberty. The Spirit of the Lord, that's His Spirit, you see. The Spirit of Christ, the Holy Ghost, that's God's Spirit, that's His Spirit. And the person that sets us at liberty is Jesus. And I'm glad that Spirit of liberty, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You know where the Spirit of the Lord is? He's right down in here. Now, you can't see Him. You don't have a good enough magnifying glass. Amen. But the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord is down in here in my body. And you know what? I got liberty. You know why? Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Is the Spirit of God in you? Is the Holy Ghost in you? Has the Lord shed abroad His Spirit in your heart? Has He given you the Spirit of God? You say, how do I know if I've got the Spirit of God? Look, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, after you trusted, He said in Ephesians 1, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. It's a gift to everyone that'll trust Christ, you see. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Oh, you know what? I'm glad. Sometimes we can sense the good liberty of God. And it's just a manifestation of His presence. And sometimes things are so tight as a drum. I'm not just talking about in church. I'm just talking about in your life. You know what that is? Because usually it's the flesh is manifesting itself somewhere. There's no freedom in the flesh, but there's freedom in the presence of the Lord. There's liberty in the presence of God. So the first thing I see from our text, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. We've got to make much of Jesus. It's not a political solution. It's got to be a Redeemer solution. It's got to be a Savior solution in our life, you see. It's got to be God's solution. And then he says in that verse, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That means that you can be set free by Jesus, but go back and put yourself in bondage. That would be a terrible, ridiculous thing. For God to make you free and then you go right back under that thing that had you in chains and had you enslaved and was confining your body and controlling your mind, it'd be a terrible thing to do that. He said, I need you to stand fast in liberty. You know, most people, when they preach on liberty in Christ, they don't preach the rest of that verse. You know, the whole purpose of God talking to us about liberty in Christ is assuring us that we have power not to go back to the bondage. That's the purpose. The purpose of liberty in Christ is not a license to do whatever you want to do. Oh, no, no, no. That's a misunderstanding of liberty in Christ. Liberty in Christ means I don't have to go back to the bondage. Liberty in Christ means I don't have to go back under the control of another, that I can stay under God's control and I can have freedom in Jesus, you see. Liberty in Christ, not a license to sin. Got a little book back there in the bookstore called The Libertines. It's a treatise about how we have to understand that liberty does not mean that we don't have any restrictions. I mean, you know, we have, well, it's eroding, but we do have liberty in America, but you don't have liberty to go shoot somebody. Right? You know there's always restrictions with liberty. Always. Matter of fact, look right here in our text in Galatians chapter 5. Let's look verse with verse here. Galatians 5 verse 13. Would you look at that? For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Now watch it now. Look at the restrictions. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. You've got liberty, but that doesn't mean you've got liberty to live according to the flesh. You know what he says in the rest of this chapter? He talks about walking in the Spirit, and he talks about the lust of the flesh. And we don't have liberty to be involved in the works of the flesh. He says, use not your liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. We don't have liberty to do wrong. We've got liberty to do right. We don't have liberty to live the way we want to live. We've got liberty to live the way God wants us to live. And, you know, even in our liberty, he put some other restrictions on it. I'll read it in your hearing. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. You know, I've got liberty in Christ, but I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want to be a stumbling block to anyone. I don't want to be a discouragement to anyone. He also tells me about my liberty in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 19. He says, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. And that's what he said in Galatians 5:13. I'm not going to use my liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but I want to serve other people. By love, I want to help people. In other words, I just don't want to champion my liberty. I want to use my liberty to do something for God. I want to use my liberty to make a difference. I think of God made America for free so that we could take the gospel to the world. I don't think God made America free just so we could enjoy our freedom. I think He made us free so we could do something for His name's sake. Those people that got on those boats, amen, and traveled across that ocean and started, they came here to worship God. They came here to live for God. They came here, amen, to have a conscience before God, to do whatever God wanted them to do. Liberty to serve. You know, he mentions that again about our liberty, about that attitude of service. He said over, I'll read it to you. He said over there in 1 Peter chapter 2, he said in verse number 16, he said, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. He wants us to serve Him with our liberty. You're free to live for God. You know, the devil wants to take that freedom away from you. And there are many, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2, there are many that are promising people liberty, but they themselves are the servants of corruption. And for whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. I want you to take your Bible real quick, because I think you need to have these things in your mind about liberty, because somewhere down the road somebody's going to lie to you about what liberty in Christ means. There's always restrictions to liberty. Go all the way back to Genesis, where we would first find that mention. Or that understanding, Genesis chapter 2. What does it mean to be free? Are there any restrictions on being free? Genesis chapter 2, the Bible says, watch how God words this. Genesis 2 verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Now, that's liberty, is it not? Come here, Adam. You see all these trees? He said every tree. Didn't he say every tree? You can eat all those trees. They're free. You don't even have to pay me for them. What a world. God grew the fruit. You know, just like God made Adam with age, He made all the trees with age. Can you imagine God forming you and making you? And you look at that garden and all this fruit's here and you just eat all you want. It's all perfect. And He says, help yourself. Eat whatever. Go to any tree, every tree of the garden. Liberty. Right? Isn't that not liberty? Look at the next verse. What's the next verse say? What's the first word? You know, God puts a but somewhere always in your liberty. But. You got liberty, Adam. Go eat whatever you want to eat. Amen. Go run naked through the trees and eat all the fruit you want. Right? I mean, ain't nobody there but Adam and Eve. Just help yourself, Adam. Have a great time. Adam, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou mayest not eat. And the day you eat of that tree, Adam, you're going to surely die. God says, all whatever's in this garden, help yourself. You got liberty. But don't eat from this one tree. That tells me that liberty always has some kind of line with it. You understand? Liberty has some kind. Now, what kind of an idiot would say, what's wrong with God? Why won't He let me have it all? You know, that's what people say to God today. Why can't I just do whatever I want to do and be whoever I want to be? Hey, you don't have liberty to be whoever you want to be. You've got liberty to be who God wants you to be. And who God wants you to be is the best person you could be. And what God wants for you is the best for you. And He says, don't eat of that tree. And Adam could have said, he could have talked to Eve and said, you know, God's holding out on us. I tell you what, all these rules and restrictions, well, how foolish would that have been? Rules and restrictions, my foot. You've got liberty, Adam. Go run through the garden, barefooted man. Just make preserves and get do whatever you want to do with all that. I mean, help yourself. Get those pineapples and grill them all. Do whatever you want to do, Adam. No, I tell you what, it's hard being a child of God in the garden. He just don't let us do stuff. You know, that's why Eve ate of that fruit. God's keeping something from me. He's keeping one thing from you that's going to kill you. You know, God's still trying to keep us from some things, church. We've got liberty in Christ, but there's some things that will hurt you. There's some things that will ruin your marriage, destroy your family, hurt your children. Sin will wreak havoc in your mind and in your body. And the liberty that we have in Christ is not license to do evil. There's always restrictions with liberty. Would you go to the book of Acts now, real quick, because I got a long way to go. Acts chapter 24. You've got liberty in Jesus, but there's always, everywhere you find liberty in the Bible, there was some type of restriction with it. Acts chapter 24, the Bible says in verse 23. Acts 24:23. This is Paul before the government. He's been arrested. And the Bible says in Acts 24:23, and he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have, what's the word? Liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. Look at chapter 27. The same thing is said in Acts 27. Acts 27, verse 3, look at it. Acts 27:3, and the next day we touched at Sidon. And Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him, what's the word? Liberty to go unto his friends and to refresh himself. You know what you read two times? You read two times that God gave liberty to Paul, listen, while he was a prisoner. They gave Paul liberty. That doesn't mean he could leave the ship. They gave Paul liberty. That doesn't mean he could leave the house. It gave him liberty so people could come to him. You see how God uses the word liberty in the Bible? You got liberty, but there's still some restrictions on that. There's still some things that you can't do, you see. One more for good measure. Go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. One more. Your liberty has restrictions, and if it does not, you don't understand what God says when He uses the word. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Amen. People have liberty in the country. I don't think y'all ought to have liberty to go burn down people's buildings. That's not freedom. That's not liberty. That's chaos. That's lawlessness. Where we're free. Well, burn down your own house. Amen. If you're burn it down, burn down your own car. You don't have liberty to do whatever you want to do. What a crazy world we live in. And look, we have Christians that are like that. Well, I can do what I want to do. If you're saved, you've got restrictions in your life. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, look at this. Every time he mentions this liberty, he puts that in there. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39. Look at it. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at, what's the word? Liberty to be married to whom she will. Is there a period after that? No. Well, if I've got liberty to marry whoever I want to, then that's just liberty to marry whoever wants. Yeah, but there's a restriction put there. She's at liberty to be married to whom she will. And then he says, only in the Lord. In other words, you can't marry a lost person. Isn't that what the Bible says? Say, is that what it says? I can marry whoever I want to, but I got to marry in the Lord. That's what he said in the Bible. So though there's liberty, there's always a line there. And it would, you know where the line is? The line is God doesn't want you to go back into bondage. Go back to our text. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We see the person of the liberty, that's Jesus Christ. We see the power that we have to stand fast in that liberty. And then thirdly, we see right here in this text, the purpose. What's the purpose of liberty? The purpose is, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Liberty from bondage. Now, what kind of bondage? What kind of bondage? What kind of yoke of bondage? In chapter 4, the previous chapter, he mentions several of those things. Galatians chapter 4, verse 9, look at it. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, look at your Bible, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage. What's he talking about? These people wanting to go back into bondage and not stand fast in their liberty. What bondage is that? Verse 24, Galatians 4, 24. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage. You see that? Which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, an answer to Jerusalem, which now is and is in, there's the word again, bondage with her children. He's talking about the bondage of the law, that first covenant that came down from Mount Sinai, that Old Testament law. Look, God does not want us to go back under the law. I'm not under the law, I'm under grace. Now, that doesn't mean I can live any way I want to live, but I am not under the law, and I'm not to put myself in bondage under the law. I'm not to live as a Jew lives. I'm not to live under that Jewish law. God doesn't want me under there, because if I get under there, that's just bondage. God wants me to be free. He wants me to be able to free to eat whatever He wants me to eat. He wants me to be able to be free to worship. Where? I don't have to wait for a Jewish feast to worship God. I don't have to wait. Amen. I can worship God every day. I have freedom in Christ. I don't have to have a priest to go in there. You know, some people won't take part of that law. They won't say, well, you know, remember the Sabbath day. You've got to observe the Sabbath day. Oh, are you going to bring your sacrifice to the priest too? I'm not under that law. I'm under the grace of God. I'm not in bondage to the law. And these Galatian Christians were being deceived somewhat, and they thought that they were going to go back under the law. And he says, no, no. Why would you be entangled with that bondage? Peter stood up in Acts 15 and said, look, we could not take that yoke of bondage either. We couldn't live by that law. Nobody lived by that law. That law is to point you to Jesus Christ. That law is a schoolmaster to let you know you can't make it. You need to get to God. Some people still trying to earn their salvation through law keeping. You'll not do it. You'll not impress God trying to keep the law because you can't keep it. That law tells you better get to Jesus. I can't help you. Don't come put yourself in chains of this law. The bondage, the law is bondage. And then there's another bondage. There's Satan's bondage. Satan's bondage. Jesus met a woman one day in Luke chapter 13. The Bible says she had a spirit of infirmity. I'm intrigued how God uses that phraseology. She had a spirit of infirmity that affected her body. And that spirit of infirmity, the Bible says she was bowed over. And she couldn't lift up herself. I used to pastor a dear lady years and years ago in Virginia. She was like that. She could not straighten up. She was always bent over. She couldn't move. And the Bible says, but there was a spirit that caused that infirmity in her life. And you know what Jesus did? Jesus healed her. He healed her. Made her well. And they got all mad about it. You know, they're still getting mad about what Jesus is doing. Hey, man, they don't want you in church. They don't want you singing praise to God. They don't want you passing out the gospel. They don't want our mission. Look, the world, the devil doesn't want our missionaries on the field. He wants to just confine that as much as possible. But Jesus healed that woman. She's made well. And they got all mad about it. And he says, why in the world should I not set this woman free of bondage? He says that Satan hath bound. That's his words. Jesus said Satan's bound this woman for 18 years. Satan had her locked up. The devil. Boy, the devil's locked a lot of people up. The devil's powerful. You know, I was preaching this week in that revival meeting, and I hit that text about Michael the archangel. Durst not bring a railing accusation when he was contending with the devil. He didn't bring a railing accusation against the devil. He just said the Lord rebuked thee. You know what? The devil's a lot powerful than you are. Don't mess around with Satan, man. Satan's strong. Matter of fact, if I can use this word and it be used right, and if it's not, I'm sorry, Lord. But you need to have at least respect for the dominion and power of Satan. What I mean by respect, I'm not talking about appreciation, but I'm talking about the fact you don't think you can come against him. You don't think you can defeat him yourself. All this stuff about the devil sitting on attack and putting the devil in a corner and all that, you're not going to do that with the devil, friend. People say, well, we can bind the devil. I don't think he's very bound today. The devil is freely at work today. You know why? Because he's the god of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air. And God has even given him some dominion and authority. And when the archangel Michael came against Satan, he said the Lord rebuked him. He didn't even do it in his own power. Lord, you take care of him. You know what? If the devil has that much power, and he's chained societies and nations and houses and people's lives, how do we get free? Christ hath made us free. The devil couldn't keep Jesus down in the grave. The devil couldn't keep Jesus down in hell when he took our sins down there. He couldn't do that. He had no power over the Lord. He came to Jesus at that weak moment in that wilderness when he's been fasting 40 days and 40 nights, fasting and praying. And he fought there with Jesus in that wilderness. And man, he went back like with his tail between his legs. He don't have a tail, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, he made quick work of the devil. Look, the devil's powerful. If you'll let him, God can set you free from the bondage of Satan. But how foolish would it be for somebody who'd been set free to go back to that bondage? Go back to start and messing with those Ouija boards again and that old devil crowd again. Amen. How dumb would that be? There's the bondage of the law. There's the bondage of Satan. There's another bondage. You know what I call this bondage? I call this man's bondage. You know, people try to put you in bondage to their own ideals, to what they want you to do in their life. Where do we see that? We see that right here in our text. Would you look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 7? He said in Galatians 5 and verse 7, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Somebody is coming in your life to try to hinder the work of God in your life. Verse 8, this persuasion cometh not of him that called you. These people that are trying to persuade you are only do that to get you into bondage. Verse 12, I would they were even cut off which trouble you. He said in chapter 2 of this same epistle, Galatians 2 verse 4, and that because of false brethren awares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, notice, that they might bring us into bondage. He said in Galatians chapter 6 verse 12, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. He's saying these men have come in to bring you into bondage. We see that played out in this same book. You remember when Peter the apostle got caught in that act of hypocrisy? Remember that? He was sitting at the table with the Gentiles eating, and in walk in the Jews, and he got up and left the table. You know what? Those men had Peter in bondage. You understand what I'm saying? They were controlling his life instead of God controlling his decisions. And as soon as those men walked in, boy, they got, you know, the devil does that. He uses other men to bring you into bondage. Look, I tell you what, I don't understand how anybody could try to live by popular opinion. Don't be in bondage to the popular opinion of this world or your peers. That's what the devil, that's what happens with young people, you know. If the right people come in, they've just got you chained up in bondage. Who cares what they think? Who cares what they say? Why would you be in bondage to anybody else's opinions? They're just trying to control you. I tell you what, I don't like being controlled unless God's doing the controlling. And there's a lot of people that want to control your life. I've never tried to be a manipulator even with the things of God. I don't want to control your life. I want you to let God control your life. Religion will try to control you. Prominent people will try to control you. And the Galatians had been brought into bondage by certain people that came in to take away their liberty and get them to live by their precepts and by their opinions. We see that in the politically correct crowd of our day. I'm not going to live by somebody else's conscience. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:9, he says, why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? I love that phrase. I love you, but I got to do what God wants me to do. I can't let you control my life. You understand? You can't let your coworkers control it. Don't be in bondage to who you work with. Don't be in bondage to your family members. Amen. Because, you know, sometimes your family members want to control your life in a different way than God will. You can say amen there. It's all right. God doesn't want other men to control us. Don't be brought into bondage. God doesn't want husbands to be in bondage to their wives. Right. God does not want there to be an oppressive relationship of a husband over his wife either. There ought to be some liberty there. There ought to be some freedom there. Not living by the consciences of other people. That's a big deal today. I could care as much, amen, what Mickey Mouse thinks as what LeBron James thinks. I don't care what LeBron James thinks. He don't even rate the comic books with me. I'd rather read Calvin and Hobbes than read a statement by LeBron James. I'm serious. What do I care what he believes? But our society is being controlled by the opinions of other people. The Lord says, don't get tangled up. Just walk by my word. Let God control your thoughts. There's the bondage of Satan. There's the bondage of the law. There's the bondage of man. There's the bondage of the world. He said in Galatians chapter 4, he said in verse number 3, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Oh, how many things we can go back into bondage over instead of standing fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Don't be in bondage to the law. Don't be in bondage to the devil. Don't be in bondage to other people. Don't be in bondage to the world. There's two more and I'm done. You know, you know what? You can be in bondage to sin. He said in Romans chapter 7, would you turn over there? And that's not a person in your life. Listen, that's not even the devil in your life. You know what most people's bondage is, even those that have been saved? They tied their own cords. They locked their own keys. They chained their own life by their own sin, by their own... You know what sin will do? It'll chain you up. God gave me liberty. You know what? Before you got saved, you didn't have the power to quit sinning. Did you know that? You had no power. That's why we don't go to the world and try to change their behavior. We can't do that. We go to the world and say, you need to be saved so Jesus can change your behavior. There's nobody that has the power to overcome sin in their life. Because remember, only Christ can make us free. I don't have the power to do that. Before you got saved, you can't quit sinning. I'm going to shock you. After you get saved, you can quit sinning. So why are you still sinning? Because you went back into bondage under that old addiction, that old habit, that old desire, that old lust. And you don't have to do that. I've had people tell me, I just can't quit. I can't quit doing that. Well, sure you can. You've got liberty. And only if you lock yourself up and entangle yourself back up with that yoke of bondage. Let's read it. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. He said in verse number 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ. You see, we're dead with Him, so we're freed from sin. Look at verse 18. Romans 6, 18. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Verse 20. For when ye were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. 22. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. God says if you're saved, you are free from the bondage of sin. Look at Romans 8. Romans 8 verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. You can't quit it, but if you're saved, you've got liberty, and you don't have to do that anymore. You don't have to go there anymore. You don't have to be that way anymore. He said, how can I quit? You need to let Jesus, you need to stand fast in the liberty. The devil can't make you do anything if you're saved. It's you, your own will and volition, that puts yourself back into that bondage. He said in Romans 8:21, the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption and of the glory. Look at it. The glorious liberty of the children of God. And we're waiting for that day when our bodies will be changed and we'll be at total liberty. Not just on the inside, but on the outside. The bondage of sin. You know what the last one is? He says, stand fast in the liberty. Don't be entangled with bondage. What bondage? That yoke of bondage. That yoke of the law. That yoke of the devil. That yoke of sin that controls you. That yoke that other men will put on you. That yoke of the world. You know what I like instead? I like Jesus' yoke. It's easy. It's easy. That last yoke, that last bondage is fear. Listen, Hebrews chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 15, it's talking about what Jesus has done for us. And deliver them who fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He said in Romans 8:15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You know what? Last night when I went to bed, I wasn't afraid I wouldn't wake up in the morning. Because whether I live in the Lord. Whether I die in the Lord. Whether I live or die, I'm the Lord's. No fear of death. I didn't wonder, oh my, am I going to go to hell? I don't have that fear anymore. Why? I got liberty. When you got liberty, you're set free from the bondage of fear. Fear of death, fear of hell, fear of the consequences of what's after I die. Have you been set free from that bondage? Why don't we just put ourselves in the Lord's yoke and just walk in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free and stand fast in that liberty?